When 30% of the American population lived on farms, a lot of people knew about the issues of life and work there. Nearly a century later, 2% of us live on farms. That's all. So it helps to get some information about life on the farm and the issues facing people who have made agriculture their life's work. We talked earlier this week about a recent report on the difficulties of getting younger generations into farming in Oregon, at a time when the average age of farmers is around 60 and many are ready to retire. Similar issues are covered in the documentary film The Last Crop, which focuses on California. That film screens in Ashland next Friday, November 4th, at the Meese Auditorium on the Southern Oregon University campus at 6:30. Chuck Schultz, the director and producer of the film, will join it when it comes to Ashland. He joins us by phone right now. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you here. Tell us about how this project got started.
Well, in 2008, I was looking for a new project. And I had just finished a film in Newark, New Jersey, and on the Newark riots, and I decided to go back to a valley, the Cape Valley in California, where I had made two of my first videos some 35 years ago. And so I was looking for a story. My friends were CSA members, Annie and Jeff Main of Good Humus Produce. I read some of their newsletters. I did some research with them and spoke with them and decided that they had a message that I thought was important to get out about preserving farmland for farmers.
So the basic gist of this is then that farmland might not have farmers on it for much longer?
Well, that's, you know, obviously there is, you know, 330 farm families leave their land every week. In terms of trying to protect their land and to ensure that it will be accessible by a farmer, there's issues with affordability of land and also access to it, right? And so the Maines are working on an affirmative agricultural conservation easement that would ensure that each generation of new farmer would only pay the agricultural value for the land instead of its market value, which makes the land much more accessible for young farmers. And whoever purchased the land through the easement would have to live on the land to ensure that they were working farmers.
Okay, an easement concept. That's interesting. So are these based roughly on conservation easements?
They are, but this is sort of the next step where... you know, most conservation easements are concerned with making sure the land's not developed. Mm-hmm. This has a social purpose on top of the idea that land needs to be saved. In this idea, the land, as well as the farmer, needs to be saved. So this allows young people to get access to land that they wouldn't normally get. That's the goal of the Maine's easement in California. It's really taken it to the next step as far as agriculture and access for land for young and new farmers.
Jeff Main actually was supposed to join us today. I understand he got caught in the rainstorm last night, so he's dealing with some issues on the farm. Where do he and Annie Main operate Good Humus Produce?
They operate it in Cape, California. The Cape Valley is right on the western fringe of the Sacramento Valley, right up against, almost up against the coastal range. About 90 miles northeast of San Francisco, about 40 miles northwest of Sacramento.
So as you got further into the subject matter here, Chuck, I mean, did it seem like you were peeling back layer after layer after layer and finding more complexity as you went through this?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, you know, what happens is the issues, as a filmmaker, as a documentarian, you know, you go in with an idea about a film, and then if you're not flexible enough to go along with the story, you know, you have to be flexible enough to go with where the story's taking you through your characters. So, you know, just in terms of a projection, in 2008, I thought, well, this is going to be a four-year project. I'm going to buckle up for 4 years, and we're going to hopefully get it finished in four. It took more like seven to finish it. Issues with you know, the story itself and whether or not the easement was going to come through, were they going to be able to raise the money, because it's a grassroots movement through the local food co-ops to actually raise money. There was an organization created called One Farm at a Time, where the Sacramento and Davis Food Co-op membership supported the idea of saving Annie and Jeff Main's farm as the first of other small farms that they could actually help to preserve in the Sacramento Valley. So when that group came on board, they were able to raise a lot more money and were able to reach their goal. The issues then became, will the land trust actually accept the easement, because they're really pushing the idea of this conservation easement in California.
Chuck Schultz, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, producer-director of the documentary film The Last Crop, which, as you heard, took quite a few years to make. He profiled Jeff and Annie Maines at Good Humus Produce in the Cape Valley in California. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the project and about the issues that it covers, which is farm succession. 800-838-3760 to join in by phone. You can join in by email at jx@jeffnet.org. You already mentioned that 330 farm families leave the farm for good, which I notice is also a super title in the film. That's an amazing figure. Is that just California? Is that the whole country?
No, that's actually the whole country. And, you know, I think there is really young people are really entering colleges to want to farm. I think the issues are that they can't really get access to the land. So those farmers that are leaving, whether it's because of age, retirement, or other reasons, there should be some kind of a way, and this is one model where an aging farmer can help a young farmer get on the land, and on the other side, the young farmer's helping the aging farmer to really ensure that the land that they've stewarded for the last 30 years or whatever it might be is going to be taken on by somebody who cares about the land like they did.
All right, I want to actually bring in one of the voices that is heard in the film. This isn't Jeff Main, it's Paul Muller, who is talking about farm succession in his own words. So here's Paul Muller from one of the farmers in the film.
You have to start thinking a little bit about succession. We have four kids that we've raised here on the farm. My feeling always was that kids will come back to farms that are successful and vibrant. We always felt like what we needed to do was design a farm that was different and that had a lot of opportunity for your kids. And then it had to work economically. It had to be something that they felt inspired by the fact that it was you're earning a fair return for your labor. The workers who were here were being paid fairly. The crops you were growing kind of romanced them into the farm and made them enjoy the seasons that the farm had.
Which then raises the question, Chuck Schultz, I mean, are farmers having trouble convincing their own kids to stay on the farm? I mean, when you talked about people who want to go to college to learn to be farmers but can't get onto the land, is there some disconnect because they're trying to get on and the children of people who are farmers are trying to get out?
Well, that really is an issue, because there's so many more choices for young people today, different professions. In the case of the Maines, their son, Zach, the oldest, is a firefighter. He helps out at the farmer's market, but his profession right now is a firefighter. The daughter, Allison, the middle child, she went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn to study graphic art. She's a graphic designer. And Claire was a journalist major at another college. So they all chose professions off the farm, yet they all are intersecting with it. They can't. Basically, a commitment to farm is a major commitment, mm-hmm. right, in life. And so there is an issue with Annie and Jeff's story is not unique. It's something that's being echoed around the country, actually, where children are deciding that perhaps they want another career.
When Paul Muller was talking about making the life attractive, making the economics attractive, I want to come back to just the economics part of this. I mean, can they still be just awful for farming on a smaller, as in non-corporate kind of scale?
It you know, it is difficult, but I mean, what farmers, what I think the change in agriculture has been for the small farmer is that they work with, again, say like food co-ops, right? Organic farmers would work with food co-ops, but they also work in farmers market and do a number of different direct sales so that they're actually getting, you know, top dollar for their produce, as much as they should probably get for their food. So it's not an easy life. I think it's more than economics for many of them, although obviously they need to make a living. So I think they have to be very, as an entrepreneur, they have to be really creative, try to find outlets, but CSAs are a way, community-supported agriculture boxes, directly from the farm to customers that sign up for them. That's a way that they can ensure that they have a particular type of income coming in every month. And those are the ways that small farmers today are actually making a living.
So it has then gotten a little better, you think, from the localism movement where people want to eat food that didn't travel that far to get to their tables?
Yes. I think that is an important movement, and I think that's actually helped farmers and smaller farmers be able to actually stay on the land and make a living. I think, you know, it doesn't ensure that they will be able to afford to buy farmland on a farming income. That's where the easement idea comes in, because they really can't compete with, high-end professionals for a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to let our folks know that we're talking to Chuck Schultz. He is the producer director of the documentary film The Last Crop, taking a look at farmland succession in California. We talked about it in Oregon earlier this week. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and by email jx@jeffnet.org. I want to play another clip that we grabbed off of the film. This is another farmer named Jim Durst talking about his succession issues.
This particular field is one that my grandfather bought back in 1920. My wife and I, we don't have any children, so we are faced with how do we keep this farm active and alive? One of our thoughts is to possibly give employee-owned stock and let some of the people who have been working here for a number of years equally share in the responsibility and ownership of the farm at some point. And that way, the next generation is stepping in to take over the helm, so to speak.
That whole issue of the next generation taking over the helm, I mean, obviously the Dursts don't have kids, so the Maines do, but the kids aren't terribly interested in the farm. When we talked to the folks in Oregon earlier this week, Chuck, they were talking about perhaps having succession coaches and succession training just to make the whole process of getting new people onto the farms easier. Has California got similar programs that you're aware of?
Well, I mean, there are. There's California Farm Link, which is trying to help aging farmers connect with younger farmers. There's a group that's actually been started by some young farmers called the Farmers Guild, and they are doing the same type of work. They're trying to connect both the aging and the young farmer to really hopefully have a mentorship in some cases, but also to help them hopefully get access to some property. So there are some groups. I can't say that, you know, most of the affirmative agricultural easements that are in place are actually coming from the East Coast, where there's less farmland available. So those states are a little bit ahead of California in terms of having actually some support from the state itself to ensure that that land remain farmed by farmers.
Ah, less farmland in the first place, and so it's a little more deer there.
Yes, it is. But we have to realize that California is one of the biggest supplier, right, of our produce.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So much food comes from California. It's just unbelievable. We have a call on the line. Let's go to Melanie in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Chuck Schultz, the filmmaker behind The Last Crop. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I've actually seen Chuck's film. Hey, Chuck, it's Melanie at the North Coast Co-op.
Hey, Melanie.
And I want to say that Chuck's work on this film is really, really important. And the message in the film, while it tends to focus on the easement, I do think that there's a lot of other ideas that are coming out of the film, and that each community needs to be working actively on this to figure out what their plan is going to be, because it affects all of us. The production of food, I mean, what are we going to eat if people aren't growing food? And so I do think that as much as possible, if people can maybe watch the film, have this discussion in their community, bring in the land trust, bring in municipalities, government agencies, bring in the university, bring in community members or whoever could be involved, and absolutely bring in the farmers, and really work hard at this now, not later when it's even worse than it is now. But I just wanted to say thank you to Chuck for his work on this, and to the Maines, who are also basically dedicating a decade of their life to this.
Melanie, did the North Coast Co-op bring the film into Arcata?
We have not yet. We have explored what that would look like, and I brought it actually to our local food policy council, the Humboldt Food Policy Council, and we're going to figure out how we could actually host some type of a community conversation around it. But it's a pretty big topic, and there's a lot of players involved, and so definitely want to be responsible in our approach in terms of being inclusive.
All right. Melanie, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Appreciate it. Chuck, how many places have you taken the film? It sounds like Co-op in Ashland is helping bring you in here, too.
Right. Well, you know, one of the reasons why I'm going to Ashland is the Ashland Food Co-op, along with a number of other food co-ops, supported our Indiegogo campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, filmmakers now need to do crowdsourcing in order to actually try to finish their film. And so a perk, because of the donation that Ashland gave us, was for me to come and support their community with our film. So it's a mutual exchange here, you know, between the two of us. So I'm really happy to be coming to Ashland to actually show the film. And, you know, I had a screening just last night in Berkeley at the Brower Center in Berkeley. I've got a screening coming up in Pittsburgh, Indiana, and Port Townsend. I just finished on Tuesday night, so we're getting this fall is our launch, basically.
Okay.
So.
The way that that Melanie was just talking about this from Arcata, you get the sense that this snuck up on people, which is a little surprising given the fact that we knew about the baby boom generation and we knew about them getting old enough to retire. Now, does it seem like it caught a lot of people flat-footed in dealing with succession in California?
Well, I think, you know, when we say, I think the general public doesn't really know some of the actual numbers that we're facing as far as the 400 million acres of land that could change, that will change hands from aging farmers to another generation of farmer, possibly, and what type of farmer will that be? So I think, I think the farming community understands it. I think it's even people that, might be shopping at a supermarket where they think they're really supporting their own, I think co-op members understand mm-hmm. it. When you get outside of that community, I think a lot of these numbers surprise them, that there's only 6% under 35 years of age, that two-thirds of those farmers are aging farmers are going to retire in the next 15 years, and who's actually going to farm it. So, you know, my job is to try to get the film out to as many communities and bring them together. And after that screening, hopefully, they'll really discuss what's going on in their particular state or community.
Another call here from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Chuck Schultz, the producer-director of The Last Crop. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. I just happened to have some younger people here when we were listening to this, and we all know that what land is being taken up, you know, with subdivisions and everything. If you, instead of farmers, bring up the, you know, modern thing in terms like vintners, orchardists, then their, you know, attention kind of perked up.
Huh, really? So a different set of words might attract more people.
Yeah, right. Really makes a difference.
All right. Interesting concept. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate that. Anything like that you've run across, Chuck?
I think, you know, I do think that that young people are looking at it in a way that is an exciting career, actually. Not all, but certainly there is a movement in universities for students applying to be farmers. How that all transpires, I think they're inspired by the people that they meet at the market or wherever they're interacting with farmers.
All right, interesting stuff that goes on here. I'm sorry we couldn't get Jeff Main on with us as one of the people in the film, but the Mains were covered extensively over several years by Chuck Schultz in the making of this film, The Last Crop, and we certainly have food for future discussions here as we talk about agricultural easements and the other subjects that are brought up in The Last Crop. The Last Crop will screen in Ashland next Friday, November 4th, 6:30 p.m. at the Meese Auditorium in the Arts Complex on the Southern Oregon University campus. Chuck Schultz, thanks for making it. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you.
All right, take care.